If you were here, if you've been here fairly regularly, you might be thinking, well, we just sang that song within the last month. Well, that would be true. We did sing that song within the last month, but I chose it again tonight because of the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's really something that's going to be in tonight's message from Deuteronomy. Maybe surprisingly somewhat, but when we talk about it in the text, you'll see why it is, and it does have to do with his glory and his grace as well. So here's where we are in Deuteronomy. You remember that there are four main parts, and we've been through the first two. We're almost through the third one. The third one's the shortest one of those. Moses' third message to the people of Israel as they get ready to head into the promised land. And this message, these two chapters, are about the people of Israel committing to the Lord. And Moses is having them swear an oath that they will keep the Lord's covenant. And so in this message, Moses has a conclusion coming up, and it is this: I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Now, choose life, that's a phrase we hear once in a while in Christian circles, usually in connection with the pro-life movement, which is a good thing. That's a good thing that we hear it then, But this is really more along the lines, this choose life, of another biblical phrase, or a couple of phrases, maybe even a couple clauses that we put together. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that's just actually part of a verse. In Joshua. It's not even like two parts together. It's taken throughout the verse. Here's the verse. It's Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, quite a bit of context about that. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because you're going to... Those are your choices. You're going to serve the Lord, or you're going to serve something else, something else, and that's what Moses is setting before them today. Life and death, blessing and curse. Those are the choices that they have, and they are all about who are you going to serve. So choose life, choose the Lord, choose Yahweh, or choose other gods. And it's not really just a matter of personal preference. It's a matter of life and death. Choose life. So that's where we're going to be headed to that verse. We'll get there next week, Lord willing. But we've been through chapter 29 the last two times we met, which would be the first half of this message that Moses gives. And if you remember the ESV, if you have an ESV Bible, it on chapter 29, it says the covenant renewed at Moab, which you could use for the whole message. It's a good title for the whole message. And so that's what we've been working through. Daniel Block has a really good way of dividing this message, these two chapters up. He divides it into five sections alternating between what is happening today or what is supposed to happen today and what will happen in the future, which he calls tomorrow. So here are the breaks that block makes. 29 has the first three of them. Starts with something today. I choose you this day, almost, but not quite that. Tomorrow, then, what's going to happen in the future, and then today again. And then today, you can see that we are on, or tonight, we're on this, the fourth one down, which will be something about tomorrow. What's going to happen in the future? So I'm going to use those same breaks. Block doesn't use those names for it. He has different names for these sections, but that's the way he breaks it down. So those are the first three that we used last week and or in the last couple of weeks, and here we're going to be dealing with one from tomorrow. So this will be the fourth point of the five from this message about the future. ESV has this section listed as repentance and forgiveness, which again is a good heading, because these verses are about that. They're about repentance. They're about forgiveness. And we're used to talking about repentance and forgiveness when we read the New Testament. You know, and sometimes when we're sharing faith, if you've heard people's testimonies, they will say things like this. You know, there was just a big hole in my life that I couldn't fill. I don't know if you've heard that. I've heard that. Or here's another one that people say often. I just had to hit rock bottom. And then I came to faith. I just had to hit rock bottom. So when you hit rock bottom, if you turn to the Lord, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you turn to the Lord, he will forgive you and he will have mercy on you and he will turn his favor upon you. So that's what we're going to find in tonight's passage. That's kind of a summary of what we're going to study tonight. In tonight's passage, Israel, Moses looking to the future, is going to be talking to them about rock bottom. About when they hit rock bottom. And so in short, he says that. When you hit rock bottom, and for them that means this. When the curse comes upon you. We've looked at the blessings and the curses in the last few chapters. When the curse comes upon them, when they hit rock bottom, you will return to the Lord. He will have mercy on you. And he will return your blessing. So that's what this passage is about. When you hit rock bottom, when you return to the Lord, he will have mercy on you, and he will return your blessing. And I couldn't fit that all on the slide, so I just put this: return to the Lord and he will return to you. So this is a future thing. So we're Deuteronomy 30 verses 1 through 10. We'll just start by reading right through the passage, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the outermost parts of the heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law. When you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. We're used to talking about that when we're talking about salvation. We're talking about the gospel, when we're talking about presenting the gospel to people who don't know. But when Moses delivered this message, he was talking to Israel. He was talking to a people who did understand, as we saw earlier. He was talking to the people of God. So is the message of repentance and forgiveness a message for us as well? Do we need forgiveness as Christians? We just prayed. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So as I was reading this passage over the past few weeks, often it reminded me of it. It kept me reminding me of this passage in the New Testament where Peter is speaking to the people of Israel. He's actually speaking to those who were there, those who handed over Jesus to be crucified to Pilate. Kind of a little bit ahead of where Pastor Randy was this morning talking about Jesus before Pilate. But before that, actually as part of all that, Peter calls that whole thing to mind and talks about it, and he's delivering this message to the people in the courtyard of the temple after he has healed the man who had been crippled, and he was a beggar, and he'd been crippled, and he was about 40 years old. And the Lord had healed him through Peter. And he's talking to the people at the temple. He's talking to the religious leaders at the time. And he says this. This is from Acts 3. This is how he talks to them. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. So that's how Peter talked to him. And then notice what he does a few verses later, down to verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. If you were there, if you'd have been one of those religious leaders, and the Lord granted for you to feel what Peter had just said, you'd have been at rock bottom. And Peter says, repent, turn back. and your sins may be blotted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Rock bottom. Return to the Lord, and he will return to you. So now we'll go through this verse by verse like we normally do, just for convenience. Actually, more than that, it's also because there's a big shift that takes place in verse 6. But this, return to the Lord, and he will return to you. From that statement, it seems like it's kind of an equal relationship, that there's some reciprocity to it, that if you do this, then if you're nice to the Lord, then he's going to be nice to you. But our relationship with the Lord is not one of equality. He's making the covenant with us. He's setting the terms. But when we go through this, notice the things that we are to do, or that it says we will do. And then notice the things that say that the Lord will do. So our return to him versus his return to us. What the Lord will return to you. What does that mean? And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse. So that should just right away remind this of what we had in the introduction. Life and death, blessing and curse. I've set before you life and death, a blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. So Moses is looking toward the future. Moses is a prophet. The Lord has revealed to him that Israel's future is going to have both of these things. Blessing and curse. Israel would choose blessing, and Israel would choose curse. So the blessing and the curse, those were in that longest chapter of Deuteronomy that we talked about. Basically, if you choose blessing, the Lord's going to bless you everywhere and in everything that you do, and the opposite will be true if you don't choose it, if you choose curse. That's what we're talking about. And the worst of the curses is where they are. When all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind, the blessing and the curses, you call them to mind. So if you have a different translation, it might say something different. I think New American Standard, does New American Standard, anybody have it? Say call to heart or something like that, bring to heart. NIV, take them to heart. That's what it is. They take them to heart. Heart and mind are often exactly the same word in Hebrew. In this case, it's the word for the... It sometimes gets translated heart, sometimes mind. But call them is a word that seems like a funny translation when you're reading it in Hebrew, because the word is the word for return or turn. Or repent. Return them to your mind. Call them to mind. If you're going to call them to mind, you're returning them to your mind or your heart. Return them to your heart. And this word is a key word in the passage. It's repeated 7 times. In one form or another, and then there the verb is repeated 7 times, and then there's a noun based on the verb. So it's really a key part of it, and it shows up four times in the first three verses. This is one of them. Return them to mind. You don't notice it in English because the translation doesn't fit our way of speaking as well. Otherwise, you could translate it the same way. We're going to try. This is one of the things that we are to do, that we are to do. Call them to mind. Return them to your mind. Not accidentally, not passively, not that you accidentally thought about something that it just came across your mind. No, you're to return it, to make it come back to your mind. That's the way that word is used here. Make this come back to your mind. And in order to do that, you have to know it, right? For you to know the blessings and the curses, they have to know what they are for them to bring it back to their mind. So when the curses come upon you, because that's what's really at play here, the blessings and the curses both come upon you. But when the curses come upon you, don't just think about the curses. Think about the blessings. And don't just think about the blessings because they were good. Think about why they were good. Think about why the blessings came. Remember why they were good. Remember why things were good for you, because the Lord had blessed you. Remember why the Lord had blessed you, because you loved him and you honored him. The reverse would also be true. So, speaking of when things are as bad as they can get, when you hit rock bottom, that's what this means. Among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. In other words, Israel has been decimated. They've been defeated militarily. This is looking into the future. Moses is talking about what's going to happen in the future. Think of the pictures that you've seen of Gaza. Rubble everywhere. The land's completely unusable. They've been destroyed. The pictures we see show that. The people have been utterly defeated. That's actually what happens in Israel. That's what happened to Israel in the future from when Moses was talking about it. And in addition to that, the people were driven out of the land by other nations, but also, as God says, the Lord's driven you there. As Moses points out, the Lord's driven you there. They went into exile. Both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Israel go into exile. The northern kingdom never does come back. The southern kingdom does. So, how could that happen? What is this talking about? Well, it's talking about this. Just from the last chapter in Deuteronomy where we were, chapter 29. This is where Moses is going through the curses and the exposition on what the curses mean. Deuteronomy 22, I'll start in verse... Or 29, I'll start in verse 22. This is what has come upon them. In the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land will say, when they see the afflictions of that land, what's coming in the future, the sickness with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown, nothing growing, where no plant can sprout, an overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath, all the nations will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? Then people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods, and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known, and whom they had not allotted to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book, and the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath and cast them into another land as they are this day. That's what this is describing. When these things come upon you, the things that happen when you abandon the Lord your God, the Lord will drive you out. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children. So even when they are driven from that place, as bad as it can get, from very rock bottom, from rock bottom somewhere else, and return to the Lord, your God, you and your children. So this is the second thing that we're to do. Remember, the first one was call them to mind, or return them to your mind, the things that, the blessing and the curse, the things that Moses had told us about. The second thing is return to the Lord when you do that. So again, that's that same word that I was talking about, that return to the Lord. And when. So remember, this started off, and when. And when these things then come upon you. And this carries right over. And when you return to the Lord. And when you obey His voice. When you return these things to mind. When you return to the Lord. And when you obey His voice. And obey His voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. So when you do that, when you obey His voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Three things that we're supposed to do. But here's the problem. Who can do this? How do we obey the Lord's voice in all that Moses commanded? How do we do that? How do we obey the Lord's voice with all our heart and with all our soul? How do we ever muster up the will? How do we ever get the ability to do that? So Israel is faced with this. How do they do this? Is this going to be just a never-ending cycle of blessings and curses? How do we keep that? How do we keep the command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because that's what this is about. How do you do that with all your heart and your soul, with all your heart, soul, with all your strength? How can we ever do that? Well, that's going to be coming up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But notice this. We were to do three things, right? Now we start this. Then, so when those things happen, then this happens. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. So this is the first thing that the Lord is going to do. Restore their fortunes. So if now I know for sure, if you have New American Standard, it says something different here. Who's got it? The Lord your God will restore you from captivity. Restore your fortunes, or restore you from captivity. Either one of those would fit the context, because they're captive. They're exiled. They've also lost all their fortune. And the translations are could be translated either way. I mentioned that I read a Jewish scholar on these things, a guy named Tigay. He said there's one factor here, talking about this. He wasn't talking about New American Standard necessarily, or ESV translations, but definitely understood these two translations were possible. But he said there's one thing that weighs heavily on the one side, and that is this is an idiom in Hebrew. It means to restore what you had. With that idiom. So restore your fortunes. Restore the things that you have. Those words together mean that. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes, and he will have mercy on you. So he's going to restore your fortunes, he's going to have mercy on you, and he will gather you again. That again there is that same word again. He will return and gather you. That's how you would say it literally. He will return and gather you from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Return. The Lord will return and gather you. So he'll do that too. So verses 4 and 5 really expound on verse 3. If your outcasts are in the outermost parts of heaven, the Lord can find you anywhere. He knows where you are. Doesn't matter where on earth you are in our day. Doesn't matter if you're in space. He can find you, even if your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven. From there, the Lord your God will gather you. And from there, he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your father. So he will do all of those things. If we do those three things, which are really one thing, but if we do those three things, return to the Lord, and he will return to you. So I remember what ours were, the things that we would have to do. I've kind of lost track of how many of the things the Lord's going to do now for us. And we're not done. The Lord has abundant blessing for his people. Verse 6 through 10 now. And the Lord will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. So what does that mean? Well, earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, Moses commanded the people to circumcise their own hearts. And in the context of that, when he told them to circumcise their heart, he followed it up with this: don't be stubborn. In other words, that's what it means. Don't be stubborn. And if you take the wider context there, don't be stubborn. Instead, fear the Lord. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Daniel Block says that this metaphor refers to removing all psychological, this is what the Lord does, removes all psychological, moral, and spiritual barriers to true devotion to Yahweh, resulting in undivided love and obedience. And so the Lord will do that for us. The result will be undivided love and obedience. So Moses tells us here that this is the purpose or the result of the Lord circumcising your heart. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Earlier we had identified this problem. How are we going to do that? How can we do that? How can we obey? How can we love the Lord with our whole heart and our whole soul? Here's how. We don't muster up the ability to do that. We can't do that. We can't obey the Lord that way. Many have tried. How do we keep the command, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might"? Here's how. The Lord circumcises your heart. So in Scripture, the Lord uses a lot of different metaphors with involving the heart. We're going to look at another one here in a minute, but I don't think that the point here is that we need to distinguish between, that we need to figure out if there's a difference between circumcising your heart and, for instance, giving you a new heart. So let's just look at, you can turn to it if you want, it's only five verses. We refer to this passage a lot in this church. It's from Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm not going to put it up on the screen, but it's Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 34. Here's what the Lord says through Ezekiel. I will take you from the nations and gather you from the country. Sounds a lot like this, what's going on in Deuteronomy, doesn't it? I will take you from the nations and gather you from the countries and bring you into your own land. That sounds just like it. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from your idols I will cleanse you. Sounds still like we're talking about this passage. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's how, right? Same thing. New heart has the same result. I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey your rules. It's what Moses is describing here in Deuteronomy is grace. It's the free gift of God's grace, the one that changes us, the ones that makes it so that we can love the Lord. Without that, we really can't. Nobody out there, there is nobody who's not a believer who has saving faith who loves the Lord. There are none. We can't do that without that happening. We don't have it in ourselves to love the Lord on our own. So we need the Lord to do that, and he graciously does it. So do we, as Christians, still need that grace? Do we still need God to do, another way to ask it, do we still need God to do work on our hearts? I do. Do Christians ever stray? Are Christians ever like lost sheep? Are we ever like the one that leaves the other 99 so that the Lord comes and gets the one? Are we ever that? Do Christians ever hit rock bottom after they're Christians? Well, this isn't an example of a Christian in the sense that we think of it, but definitely somebody who looked forward to the Christ in the Old Testament. David, the Lord had chosen him. He put him as king. He said, he calls him a man after his own heart. And what does he do? He looks out from his palace and finds a beautiful woman bathing, Bathsheba, takes her, kills her husband. The prophet comes to him. Nathan comes to him and tells him he's guilty. This is going to be something that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. It's going to be really bad for you. And David says, I've sinned. And Nathan says, the Lord's forgiven you. Still, all these bad things are going to happen, but the Lord's forgiven you. David, I can imagine, at that time being at rock bottom. And when he was at rock bottom, he wrote this that so many of us quote. When he went, here's what it says in before the psalm starts. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So in that time, here's what David writes. I'm just going to read part of this psalm. Have mercy on me, O God. This is a man after God's own heart praying this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done evil what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inner being, and teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. That's what David writes, the broken man. He needed it, right? He needed the Lord's grace and forgiveness, though he trusted in the Lord. So if we've hit rock bottom, I mean, David is a great encouragement for us. It doesn't matter where we are on earth. It doesn't matter where the depth is. The Lord can find you. The Lord can create a clean heart. He did it in David. He can do it for us. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, to quote Peter again. So do that. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and the enemies who persecuted you. And you shall return and obey. There's the return again. You shall return and obey. You shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous. He's going to restore the blessing to you. In all the work of your hand, in all the fruit of your womb, in all the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight. The Lord will return and delight in you, and delight in prospering you. So there's that return again. The Lord will return and take delight in you, in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn, another form of that word, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, took up this passage that we have when he was talking to the exiles who were in Babylon. Here's what it says. This is what happened. This is what really happened in Israel after Moses said this. Long time after Moses said this. Not 1,000 years, but more than 500. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and hope. So we'd like to quote that one verse. This is all about the exiles returning from Babylon, from fulfilling this thing that the Lord promises them through Moses. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. Same thing. And gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. The Lord says, you will find me. If we've hit rock bottom as a believer and wandered away, forgiveness is possible. Clean heart is possible. Makes me think of, I know Dean and Becky ask us to pray for prodigals once in a while. That's what we should do. The Lord can make it happen, and if we really have, if we're really among those who have saving faith, He promises to make it happen. He will do it. He will return us. He will return us. He will make it so our heart and soul turn to Him and obey His voice. He will make that happen. So return to the Lord, and He will return to you. Let's close then in prayer, and then we'll have our final hymn. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for the way that you love your people. How you lavish us with blessings. And Lord, just pray that you would keep us. Keep us in your hand. Don't let anything snatch us away from you, or anybody snatch us away from you, as you'd promised. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.